Welcome to The Correct Opinion, the official podcast of themovieblog.com. I'm Ryan, and of course, as always, we have with us Anthony.
Yep, I'm here.
And Jim.
I'm here also.
So what do we got going on this week, guys?
There's a lot of things that are happening this week. A lot of things to discuss. Obviously, it's not an elephant in the room at this point. In Nolan, we trust. Interstellar was released. Mm-hmm. We gave it a pretty good markup on our website. Kenny, what do you guys?
Kenny gave it.
And I tell you, that is showing something right there. When Kenny gives something a good review, coming out of his
little bubble,
of indie films. I mean, and just gives a blockbuster an 8.5 out of 10. I think that's saying something.
Exactly.
So bravo, Kenny. Bravo.
The standards we hold things to.
Well, we have to. And, you know, nobody's infallible.
You know what? I use Kenny as a standard for like pinnacle movies. If he gives something a great review, I know that it's probably something I have to check out because he is very critical, which is a good thing.
Yeah. You know, I'm not always into independent films, but I hands down, I trust his opinion.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know, without question, you know, if he says something is good, I'm going to go see it. If he says a blockbuster movie is good, everybody needs to see it.
So let's talk about this a little bit. Interstellar. What did you guys get a chance to see it?
I did.
I did not.
Oh, I gotta say,
I'm not, spoil it. Go for it.
It totally just satiated my appetite for science after seeing this film. I think I spent the whole weekend looking up Einstein's theory of relativity, going over string theory, M theory. This is probably the most accurate depiction of interstellar travel that we've seen in a sci-fi film.
Does that make it a good movie?
I think it does. I and this is the reason why. It inspired me to want to read up on things that relate to the movie outside of the movie. Usually you go to a film and you say, you know what, that was a good movie. And then you get a few thoughts about it. This, my thoughts were clouded throughout the weekend with it. So I think it was absolutely phenomenal.
You had me when you said it inspired. That's big. A movie inspires somebody, that's big. What were you going to say, Jim? I'm sorry.
Well, luckily for you guys, I got a chance to kind of think over the movie since there wasn't much for a Sunday night game. The Bears and Packers didn't give me too much entertainment. So, this is just can't get any worse then. But that movie was one of those movies. I went with a couple of friends and you come out of the movie theater. And honestly, we were talking outside of the movie theater for 45 minutes about this film. I mean, if it gets this kind of reaction, you know this movie has done something right. Like it or not, and there's a lot of people that might not understand it because the concepts are so out there for common, for common regular date people or to go and see this movie. They might not understand majority of this movie, but this movie was visually stunning. It was compelling, and the acting was tremendous. I think that's a trifecta right there.
Here's a tough question I have for you guys. Will my mom like it?
Well, you know what? I think
Jim, no, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jim kind of summed that up saying that it's not, and I think we could agree that most of our parents would fall into that general audience common moviegoer realm.
Right.
So I think she would enjoy the visuals and think that, but I think it would. She would be so confused by it,
mm-hmm.
Or anyone's mom would be so confused by it that they might kind of lash out. And I think that's what's happened with a lot of critics. That it's made them to feel inferior. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of when they're using the terms convoluted, I think really what they're saying is, I don't like Christopher Nolan because he made me feel stupid, and I don't like feeling stupid.
Right, and these guys usually think they're smarter than anyone else, exactly. And they're such movie savants. The thing is, Christopher Nolan has said it himself in an interview, I believe it was with the Hollywood Reporter or so, that he wants you to be confused. He doesn't want you to have answers to this. The whole point is to screw with your mind in a way like, you know, Inception did, but I think he did it much better. This is a top two Nolan movie of all time. No question. I'm not sure if it's number one or number two. I would put it head to head with Prestige, which still remains one of my top favorite movies of all time. But this movie visually, you know, one thing, if Gravity got nominated and people wanted to win Best Picture, Gravity looks like a redheaded stepchild to this film.
Oh, it is. And this just comes from fact alone. They had astrophysicist Kip Thorne as the executive producer, and he's going to have two published papers off of the visuals because they created the most accurate visual depiction of a black hole that we've seen, like, not just on film, but to date throughout any type of science, published science media form.
I have another tough question. Just to kind of move things along, I have another tough question. Why did Big Hero 6 beat Interstellar this weekend?
I'm not surprised.
I think it's the Marvel... sorry, Jim, go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's the Marvel correlation, and it's gotten great reviews.
It wasn't promoted as a Marvel film.
It wasn't, but it's gotten great reviews, and it, on the success of Frozen, people want to see the next big Disney movie. And, I mean, this appeals to a wide range of audience. Kids sell. You know, they go. There's three tickets. Parents and two kids or a kid. That's three tickets to probably one or two of Interstellar. Just by the mass of people that will see, it brings in families, these type of films, these Disney films, versus Interstellar, which will not have maybe our moms go and see it, you know, because it's just by the sheer numbers. Doesn't mean it's a better film. It's just Disney. Disney sells and families sell.
I think that's pretty much the nail on the head there. I mean, it's when you have a family film that can appeal to not just children but adults as well, I think it's just I think you're just capturing a wide demographic and a much wider demographic for a I'll use this with quotes around it, convoluted sci-fi film.
Okay. I also noticed that it not only did it get beat by Big Hero 6, it was a lower opening than Inception.
And you know, I think this is just, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Inception open during the summer?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, it's summer is movie-going season, and I just think that it's timing more than anything.
It had this opened 2 or 3 weeks later, it would have been a different story. I think it's a weird time that early November, it's not quite Thanksgiving or, you know, or right after that Thanksgiving holiday. That's when the movies start kicking up, kind of right between that Thanksgiving and Christmas or right after Christmas. Yeah, if it was a different date, I think it would have a lot to do with it.
Definitely.
Okay. I really think that summer might be his strong suit. Personally, it takes a lot to get me out of the house and into a theater when it's cold outside. I mean, you've got to have a really, really good movie.
Right.
This relatively mysterious movie, it caught my attention. It didn't have my interest enough to go see it opening weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
I love
Christopher Nolan. It's like one of those movies like, oh, well, you know, here's the thing.
Is it the cast? Is it McConaughey maybe that didn't sell you on?
I don't think it's McConaughey. It's just the time of year. You know, in the summer, I'm a little bit more. It's not. You don't have to twist my arm. Let's go to the movie theater. And when it's getting cold outside, I'm like, oh, I can catch that on cable.
Yeah, but I mean, the hype to this film, it was still really open-ended as to what it was going to be about. I thought the intrigue was really well done. People, you know, you knew it had to do something with the black hole, but you weren't quite certain. So that drew me in. I wanted to know what the heck it's going to be about. You know, like literally, is it going to be totally what we don't expect it to be? And it kind of was. There's even if you have expectations for this film, when you see it, you still didn't feel that, you know, they've come to fruition because it's still not what you think it is.
Got you. Listen, we could talk about Inception till our faces are blue. I feel like I enjoy talking Christopher Nolan nonstop. But eventually we'll bore people. So,
I know I could do probably 4 podcasts on Interstellar.
Just on Christopher,
right?
And maybe we'll do a running thing. Maybe like after a week, like next week, we'll just devote 5 minutes just to reconnect on it.
Good luck getting a word in with me talking.
Also this week, other big thing was the rumor, and I don't know how much of a rumor we can call it at this point, but Sony is considering another Spider-Man spinoff, but this time starring Aunt May?
Oh my, I know, it just sounds, oh, it's so bad in my opinion. I feel like this is where they're starting to scrape the superhero bottom of the barrel. It's,
she's not a superhero. So let's start with that.
She was a superhero in one comic. That doesn't count.
She was a herald of a Galactus in one, and yep. she also in a What If, I think she got the spider powers.
Come on, man.
They're stealing the story from Richard and Mary Parker.
Right.
And they're trying to see maybe we can force that onto Aunt May, because we already gave Richard and Mary Parker a story. Obviously, not everyone knows this about Spider-Man. Unless you're deeply enthralled in the comics, you don't know that Richard and Mary Parker, Peter's parents, were agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if I'm not mistaken. They were spies.
Yeah, they were.
And they have this whole they have this whole history of how they were doing all sorts of espionage adventures all across the world. I remember it was in a flashback, right? And they're trying to shoehorn Aunt May into this, and that just sounds silly. It almost sounds like they're trying to pick up what Disney dropped with the Black Widow film and just give it to Aunt May.
Well, you know what I think it is? You look at shows like Gotham, Agents mm-hmm. of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then we have Agent Carter coming up. I think they're trying to just... I think Sony doesn't really have what Marvel has, where they can just pick and choose many characters. There's a lot of characters in the Spider-Man universe, of course, but...
Plus, they have their own channels.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... I think this is testing grounds. I think they see that... they see a movie that they can produce for really cheap,
mm-hmm.
and they're probably hoping to grab audiences with just a mention of Spider-Man here or there.
But there's so many better characters. If you're going to take somebody from Spider-Man, take Silver Sable.
Okay,
make a story about that.
You know what? I'm going to pull Iverson here. We're talking about a grandma. We're talking about a grandma, guys. Grandma? We can't have a film about a grandma, man.
Well, she won't be old. It's going to be a period piece. It's going to be
that's what we know her for, is a grandma-aged woman. That has no superhero powers. That's just too mellow for anything. I cannot speak of it anymore. It's just stupid and silly, and it just really, it insults my intelligence to even talk about it.
I agree. I think it's really stupid, and I feel like they're trying to capitalize on an audience at the cheapest way possible. If this film succeeds, then this will be the climactic point for the turn of the superhero films. It will be...
It'll be a good or a bad. Imagine...
It'll be
No, it won't be. Nothing good about it. No.
All right. Let's take the idea for a second. Let's try to be a little open-minded. What if it was good? What if they just... Oh, we got Ridley Scott to direct. We've got a great writer on board. What if it was good?
There's nothing... What can you do that's good about it?
Make Give a me one idea.
About her, I mean, sure. Maybe if you try to do a Mary Jane or something, but maybe that's more of a relatable character.
No, I'll give Anthony the benefit of the doubt. It could be good, but even if it is good, I feel like this is just going down a bad path for superheroes. I feel like they're just going to be going with trying to find all of these off the wall superhero characters to capitalize on, and eventually, we're not going to have the unique factor that we have with a lot of these superhero films. They're just going to turn into carbon copy productions, generic productions that we see every year.
Right.
This is a joke. I mean, just completely a joke.
It's borderline insulting.
Right.
It is.
But they're clearly, you know, reaching. You know, they really, it's really not going the way they hoped.
No, I like Andrew Garfield.
Right.
I'm indifferent about the films for the most part. The sequel, the first one, I was hopeful. The sequel, I'm not going down that road.
Right.
I love Andrew Garfield. I think he's a great Spider-Man. I think he's a great Peter Parker. I hope that the rumors about them maybe rebooting the reboot and getting Garfield off, or I hope all that stuff is just rumors. I hope he sticks around with the franchise for many years to come. But this Aunt May thing is really, really not making me feel optimistic about where they're going.
And we spent too much time talking about it, so there's got to be more news than that.
Well, there's always talking about M. Night Shyamalan, you know, if you just want some variety.
Should we go from worse to worser? I mean, man.
Well, he's got another movie. He for some reason, this guy still gets work, you know.
Oh, wait, did you guys hear that? I think I heard another podcast subscriber leave. We're going down a bad road.
He still gets work. I like talking about this kind of stuff. Okay. I don't understand how someone who has a string of critical failures continues to get work. Like, what are they? Drug dealers on the low? Or they have something with these producers that they have to have them involved with their films? Is there some, like, hidden contract I don't know about?
Well, look at directors like Uwe Boll, who have survived on the straight-to-DVD realm for quite some time, and he's known as the worst director of all time, and he still gets stuff.
I think of Brett Ratner.
Oh. When I think of Brett Ratner, I think of the
anger.
Epitome. No, I just think of the epitome of douchebags for directors. Like, I mean, God, I hope we never get him on the podcast because he'll probably reach through here and punch me. But
I'll book him for next week.
He dated Lindsay Lohan. How low can you go?
But Shyamalan has
he
a
could
new
direct.
Movie.
He could direct Aunt May movie.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Shyamalan has a new movie. It has Katherine Hahn. It's about a woman watching her two kids. They go visit grandma. Things go wrong. Obviously, there's going to be a twist ending. Anyone have any faith in this guy?
Yeah, things can go wrong. I'm pretty positive he can stick with that and make it happen.
I've only liked a few of his films. I love The Sixth Sense, like most people.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Unbreakable. I thought Unbreakable was a great superhero film.
Yep.
And then I enjoyed Signs and The Village, despite the obscure endings. But, yeah, other than that, I think, you know what? That's actually a good chunk of films I enjoyed from him, his repertoire.
What was that, four?
Yeah, that was four that I actually liked. So
he made 12. Sorry, he made 10 and he has two more coming. So that's less than half.
Yeah, I mean, that's not bad. Given how other directors...
Well,
know, I mean,
when it's a great introduction and then the last six... All right, let me just say this. The Last Airbender.
Yeah, that was horrible. Horrible.
You know, I'm smart enough to actually not see these movies, so...
Yeah. He's a fun guy to pick on. Last but not least from me, anyway... I saw this trailer from Exodus Gods and Kings. Now, that movie already had my curiosity. It's a Ridley Scott film. It's got Christian Bale. Got my curiosity. I saw this last clip of a battle scene. It has my interest. Now, I passed you guys the link right before the show. What did you guys think of that link?
I mean, the movie looks good. I like the special effects. It's so Ridley Scott-like. I mean, you can tell this is a Ridley Scott film, just the big effects and just, you know, the time period type of piece that he sometimes likes to do. And I mean, with Christian Bale, I have faith no matter what. I think he's the right guy to, you know, lead a movie with. And obviously it's another kind of historic period piece, but I definitely see good things with this film. I like the action scenes. I think it's going to be pretty gory and violent too. So I'm sold on this. best movie in December, no question. I mean, I think it's going to be a good way to end the year with a movie like that.
I think we've got good things. I think we've got religious controversy.
Yep.
I think we've got a signature Ridley Scott camera work and score. It's very reminiscent of Gladiator.
Yep.
And, and I'll go as far to say this is going to be the next Gladiator, which I think it's going to be a very entertaining film. And I think, and I'll go reiterate what Jim said with Christian Bale. I think Christian Bale does not like to sign on to bad films. If it was a
right.
bad film, he would have left midway through shooting.
What's the last bad Christian Bale movie? I can't think of it. You know, literally, I cannot think of a bad Christian Bale movie. It's either big box office or great reviews and you know, critically acclaimed. Usually both.
I don't see every Christian Bale movie. I said it. Reason why is because he doesn't always do things that catch even my interest. I really had no interest in The Flowers of War.
Yeah.
None.
I mean, I guess you could argue that
Out of the
Terminator,
Furnace?
Terminator Salvation. No, I liked Out of the Furnace. That was pretty good.
But oh, yeah, Out of the Furnace, good.
I didn't see it. It didn't catch my attention. I mean,
well,
I wrote about it, and I wrote about it from the time it was announced, and I still didn't want to see it by the time it released.
Yeah, you watched too many M. Night Shyamalan movies.
Yeah, I'm a jaded guy now. But I don't always watch his films. I'm looking forward to this one. I'm looking to see that movie that finally gives Ridley Scott the opportunity to not have to add the tagline from the director of Gladiator. I think it's been too long. I think he's made much better films over the past decade that he doesn't have to keep, you know, relying on people's memory of that anymore.
I'm looking forward to the controversy. I mean, he's got like he's really going to probably draw in a bunch of religious protesters, I'm guessing. And then on top of that, I mean, you've got Moses played by a white guy. I mean, I know we had it with Charlton Heston, but I mean, the times have changed.
The times have changed, but that has not really changed. Whitewashing is just a way of life almost. It's like breathing. And for anyone that's not aware, that's the term when they recast someone of some other cultural or ethnic background and they recast them with a Caucasian. I've heard the term whitewashing. But it's really common. It's Jake Gyllenhaal was the Prince of Persia. Come on.
Exactly.
Which
that lost authenticity for me. I mean, but given that most Persians do have that Caucasian color.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the region. I mean, that is kind of.
I will not bash Jake Gyllenhaal. He's done such great work. I'm still thinking about
Nightcrawler.
I'll bash
Prince of Persia. I'll bash that.
Yeah. Well, what wasn't Gemma Arterton in it?
Oh, well, I won't bash her.
Well,
God no.
She's exempt from this. But I like it. I like the idea of Exodus Gods and Kings. Yes. Everyone is Caucasian. Joel Edgerton, Aaron Paul. Mm-hmm. Well, the only exception I think is Ben Kingsley, and he's not even in a leading role. Or is he? Sigourney Weaver.
I just hope Aaron Paul is like, yo, can I get Moses? Seriously, can I get some blue meth?
Like, that's what I expect him to say. I don't know. But I'm really excited about the film overall, you know, all of that aside, I think it's going to be a great film. I have almost the utmost faith in Ridley Scott. He has a few things that had me question him, but for the most part, I really enjoy all of his films.
I agree.
I can't stop. Every time I think of Ridley, I think of Tony. I still miss that guy. I always thought he was better. But that's it for me. Did you guys want to touch on anything before we wrap this up?
Gotham sucks.
Oh, I'm done.
What? Hey, they're bringing back the Graysons, apparently. There's that story that Graysons are going to make an appearance. I'm waiting for that.
All right. Well, you let me know when that happens.
You know what I'm hoping they bring back? An actual plot.
I don't know. I'm still sold on it. I kind of like it. I like that they bringing more characters in and making it more comic booky instead of just straight up crime drama. I'm cool with that.
They're probably gonna bring on Zac Efron as the Joker the way they're going now. Like, I mean,
Zac Efron can get it done. Okay.
Oh my god. Okay, Jim, you're cut off.
Well, I got to go anyway, so perfect timing.
All right, and on that note, I think that's about it for us this week. It's been
give
fun.
Give Gotham hope.
Give Gotham hope. That's like giving Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. hope. I don't do it. I don't watch comic book TV shows. I can't. I cannot. But that's it.
Okay, well, it was fun, guys. And everyone, make sure to tune in next week.
Where's Danny Baldwin?
He might be actually next week, so next I'm working on it.
All right, yeah. Man. Let's see what happens. I'm looking forward to that.
We're
going to
get a guest here really soon. I already have stuff planned.
I'll get somebody for us, if anything.
Yeah, we'll have someone, no doubt about it.
All right, guys. Well, it's been fun. This has been the official podcast of the Movie Blog. Whitewash. Let's go.
The Correct Opinion Uncut, the official podcast of the Movie Blog. You tune in next week for all sorts of surprises where Jim talks about why Gotham is awesome and I tell him why it sucks.
And make sure everyone to subscribe to us on iTunes. Click that subscribe button.
We'll see you guys next week. Take care. Wait, what? Who?
What?
Huh? Bye.
Cut him off.
And we're done.
Good. Good. I keep going.